come on in, Peggy. You want to stand up?
Well,
I'm not as big a coffee drinker as a lot of them.
We don't need anything right now. After we finish, we haven't accomplished anything yet.
I see. Well, you can sit down here a minute.
Let me get my little book.
So you have to find out what he's got in that thing.
Yeah, and I think it's a damn regulating valve, but part of it's gone. I couldn't get it out. I tried to get the wrench onto her tab. I think if we move that cement block over a little bit, I should have done that and then got a pipe wrench on, a bigger pipe wrench onto it, and turned that out.
And yeah, looked at that.
You all see what you can get done. Okay.
Well, why don't you just look?
Okay.
Let me see now. I've got it here somewhere. 372-6275.
Oh, gosh. I got a book down home, a new book on Morgan horses. I was going to bring it up and show it to you, and I forgot it.
591-1512. 1512. Good morning. Mr. Eastman, want to talk to you?
Good morning, man. Say, we just overlooked at that pump. Jet that you got down in the bottom, or is it a new jet or one that was with the pump? A new jet. And that had new letters on it. Well, did that.
I don't know what you're talking
about, I see a cinch and a quarter pipe goes down inside the 2 inch.
I don't fool with it.
Yeah.
Don't the inch and a quarter pipe go down to your jet? You don't. Well, what holds your foot valve? It's on the inch and a quarter pipe. Yeah. Well, wasn't they a jet? No jet? Just a foot valve. No wonder you can't get no water. That's got to have a jet down in there. Yeah. There's a jet that goes on the bottom of that inch and a quarter pipe to allow your pressure from your inch pipe on the top that goes down around that inch and a quarter pipe, see? And that pressure there goes back up through that jet to help lift the water. If there ain't no jet on it there, why, I can't see how it'll work. Everyone that I've ever had any experience with always had a jet on them. I've played with them things, well, for a good many years, ever since they come out. If this one here don't have to have a jet, it's something new to me.
Oh.
You know what those jets are, don't you? I say you know what those jets are. Yeah, well, your jet just has got a hole in it down there. See that that your casing your outside casing serves as that pipe. See, your inch pipe just puts the pressure into that 2-inch one. And then your 1.25 is your suction. See, and your suction draws up on your 1.25. Well, then your inch pipe that puts the pressure on that 2-inch pipe, that goes in through that hole in the jet. Yeah. Yeah. And another thing, I think that pressure control outfit is bad. It's leaking. I put a small pipe wrench on it, and couldn't stir it. But by putting a big pipe wrench on, I think that'll turn out all right. Because I think that there's a stem that comes out through that hole that turns in and out to regulate your pressure. You see, you're supposed to run about a 25-30 pound pressure on that olive oil that holds back before you get any water from your pump into your pressure tank. You see, you have to have a 25-30 pound pressure goes back down in the well. Jet on it, it's just a foot valve down on the bottom of that pipe.
Well, that's a new system, Mr. Eason.
It's new to me. But you know, the jet down there, see, you got that, there's a hole in the bottom, comes up, you know, and it comes up through, right through that new hole up through there, see, and as your pressure goes up through, it sucks water from around it and goes up with it.
Yeah. Well, now where will we get a jet?
Well, he said he'd get one.
Can't you get one?
Oh, I can get one, but he said that he'd get one. Now that's all I know.
Oh, he's unreliable.
Huh?
He's totally unreliable. Can't believe a word he said. Would Wind have one?
Yeah.
Well, let's go get one and put it on.
Well, we'll get out and look and see what Wind's got down there.
All right. If they got it, bring it on up. Where'd you get the whooping cough?
Jesus, I've had it for 2 weeks. That's what I begin to think it is. Jesus.
That's Ethan? When you all gonna come up and tell us about your trip?
Huh?
Last summer. It's been so long, you forgot it now.
Yeah, we come to the different hills up there in Culpeper, Virginia.
Well, lean over the store.
We drove in the rain for probably, 100, 150 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And it really rained, you know, see. We'd come up to that, we'd got just through Culpeper, just north of Culpeper there, and it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we figured on driving until 5 o'clock, see. Well, here was this, they was working on the road up there on the shoulder, see. And the water run down off in the shoulders there onto the road some, and it was all muddy, you know, and you know that mud is slippery and one thing and another. We was going to meet a big truck. And I was over on my side, the lights on, and the truck had his lights on. We got almost to that truck, and geez, here come a station wagon. The woman driving it, she come right around that truck. And she almost took me head on. And she had to dive back in so quick, you know, that it throwed her going just like this. And all at once, the back end of that went right straight around and right into the ditch, and there she was. Well, we was by the truck by that time. And I says to my wife, I said, by gee, We always look for a motel, you know, with a restaurant with it, see? So when you want to eat, you go right to the restaurant and get your supper or get your breakfast and take off. That's the first motel we come to, we're going to stop, whether there's a restaurant to it or not. As I said, I'd rather go without my supper than to go without living. She says, all right. So we went up the road there, 2-3 miles. And there was a motel, no restaurant. Well, we stopped in up there. And it was raining so hard, the motel was down back. The row of houses in front there. The fellow lived in the house, and he was on the porch, and I stopped in there. He said, you want a motel room? And I says, yeah. Drive right down there, he said, and I'll be right down. Well, he put on a raincoat and an umbrella, and you know, it rained so hard, the time he got down there, he was soaked clear above his knees. You know, where the raincoat switching, you know, and the umbrella, he was just soaked clear above his knees. It was raining so hard, boy, it was really pouring right down. So we stopped and stayed all night, and along about 6 o'clock, it stopped raining, and we went out and got some supper. And that same night, we had the news on there, and you see, Culpeper is almost straight west of Washington. It's a little bit southwest there. And they had a cloudburst in Washington, D.C., and they showed pictures on there of streets that had 18 inches to 2 feet of water on them. And they said that there were some streets that had over 3 feet, but they couldn't get their equipment in there to show the pictures. Right in the city of Washington. And then the next morning, we got a paper. Boy, I told all about it in the paper there and showed pictures and one thing and another in the paper about that cloudburst that hit Washington up there. Well, geez, it didn't just hit Washington, because we was about 50 miles west of there, see, a little bit southwest. Boy, now they was getting it in there, and I'm telling you.
And that's what you left a good, comfortable place for down here?
Yeah. But when we got up in New York, it was all right. But boy, up there in Virginia, that was a quarter up in there. God knows, after we stayed a week up in New York, we went up to Pennsylvania. Warren, Pennsylvania, that's way in the northwest corner there. And the people who live the second house from us down here, they live up there in the summer and down here in the winter. They're down here now. We had Thanksgiving dinner with them yesterday.
Oh.
And we went over there to see them. And you know, there were 2 mornings that we got up and the temperature was down to 40 and they had to start the furnace fire.
That's in the summertime.
Yeah, and that was in August.
August.
And you know, you got a garden out there and you got a fence around the garden as high as this damn ceiling. And you know, them deer would jump over into the garden, eat your stuff up and jump out and not touch the fence. Well, I ain't lying to you. That fence, but geez, was higher than you could reach all the way around, you know, and you can reach about 7 feet.
Yeah.
And that fence was a foot higher than what you could reach right straight around. And by gee, them deer would jump right over the top of that and not touch it.
And they didn't.
And they don't take no running jump either, those deer don't. They stand right side of the fence like this here, and they just hop right up like that and come down on the other side. And they was up there one morning and almost says, look right out the window right down there. There's an evergreen tree right down just the same as the garden was here and the evergreen tree was here. He says, there's a deer right there just the other side of that evergreen tree. And you know, you could see part of it through the limbs there. Well, I say, you just watch it and I'll see how close I can get to it down there. But geez, you know, I got up and been about 20 feet of that deer before she took off. And she didn't run as though she was scared then.
Mm-hmm.
And the morning that we was leaving up there, my car was up across the road. That garage up across the road. My car, but the garage had, they tore it down and it got rotten, but they keep the driveway up there, see, and they drive their car up there and park it where the old garage was. And from up across the road, the land kind of goes on a grade right up to a lot of underbrush and woods up beyond it. I started out, we was going to go home. I had a suitcase in each hand, and I got right up to the road, and I was watching where I was walking, see. I got up to the road, and I was going to look to see if there was a car coming either way, you know. When I looked up like that, there were two buck deer standing just behind my car. Boy, they were nice ones. And I took the suitcases down, went back down to the house and told them. And they come out, and the damn deer trotted right along up across the lot, went up into the brush. Boy, they were nice ones, didn't they? Mm-hmm. And that was right. Well, they're about 3 miles south of Warren, Pennsylvania, and about a half a mile from them is a little town called Stoneham. But boy, that's wild country up in there. And one of the nights that we was there, the kitchen window, the back end of the house, it's just on a side hill, like, see? And out the back of the kitchen window, they got a garbage can on the outside there, see? And they just open up the window and drop the garbage right down into the can, see? And then they can take it from there. They heard a little noise out there. They went over there with the flashlight and looked out, and there were two coons. There were two coons right in the garbage can. When they said that about 6 months before, when they first went north up there, it wasn't 6 months before that, but it was when they first went north in the spring, they heard a noise out there like that, and they took the flashlight and looked out there, and there was about a half-grown bear out there. They thought that's what it was the other night, or that night when we was there, see? They was just ready to holler to us to come down and see the bear, and we was upstairs, and had gone to bed, and golly, it was the coons. And there was one coon there, stand right on his hind feet, she said, and hold his hand up like that. So she went and got a slice of bread and took a fork and stuck into it, and she reached out and handed it out, and that fellow there reached her up and got it. She said the minute he got that slice of bread, he stuck it in his mouth and he run like the devil with it.
Well, now, you didn't know all that was going on, Mr. Eastman.
About the coon?
Yeah.
No, we didn't know that till the next morning.
And the deers and all.
Huh?
And the deers.
Well, God, we see the deer up there.
But you didn't know that was going on. You hadn't been up there in so long.
No. Well, we never had been over there at Warren, Pennsylvania before. But those deer, they got in there. The first day that we was up there, he was showing me the garden, you know, and he had string beans. They stood right up like that, you know, and the leaves about that big around on it. He had a row of them out through there, and then there was potatoes and onions and beets and everything else there. But you know, the morning after those deer got in there, we don't know how many there was. Well, Jesus, they had them beans at right down. So all it was some stalks standing up about that high.
Is that right?
And they had some of the potato tops off. But the beans, they liked them first rate. It's funny to me now. There was a beets there, and they never touched the beet tops. But they just cleaned them beans right down and some of the potato tops.
Well, I guess that's what you'd call a deer fence.
Yeah, well, they have a woven wire fence, and they got pipes stuck in the ground, you know, there, drove in the ground, and
yeah.
Stick clear away up there, and by the way, them deer go right over the top of it.
Well, you have no idea how high you'd have to make your garden fence.
No. I know up home one time, my boy and I was going up from one farm up onto the other one. We had to go up a hill. And on the upper farm, over in the corner, there was about 4 acres of woodlot over in there, and it had a lot of underbrush in it. And the boy and I were going up onto the other farm, started up across the lot with a team of horses on a hay wagon. And we got up there, just up top of the hill, and here come, there were 13 of them deer coming right down the cross, and they're going right inside woodlot. Well, I said to the boy, I said, here, you drive the horses, and I'll cut over across in there and drive them out where we can get a good look at them. Well, you know, I started over in there. My golly, the next thing I knew, I was right up within about 20 feet of this old buck deer. And he's just standing right there looking at me, and his eyes are just like balls of fire. Well, here was a young sapling there about that big round, and geez, I started to go right up that sapling because I didn't know what the devil that buck deer would do, you know. But you know, he stomped his foot, and he turned right at right angles and went right straight over across like that. And we had just built that spring a brand new five-wire barbed wire fence up there. And there were three little fawns in there. I didn't stand no about that high. And I thought to myself, well, geez, I'll chase them over there by the fence and I'll have some fun with them little fellows getting through the fence. You know them little devils went over the top of that fence just like so many flies. Why, there was nothing to it. They went over there more graceful than the big ones.
Is that right?
They just seemed to hop just like that. They was the Pennsylvania deer. They have two kinds up there in New York State. They have the Adirondack deer and the Pennsylvania deer. The Adirondack deer, they got a tail just about that long.
About 6 inches?
Yeah. And the Adirondack deer, their tail's about that long.
Oh.
2 foot.
Yeah.
But they still look about alike?
Yeah.
Just have to see their tail.
Yeah. And every once in a while up there, you'll see one of them old big bucks, you know, mine got a 15, 20 pointer. Jesus, what a racks of horns some of them have got. There was one day running right down the road and went across the road in front of me, and his horn hung right down over his face. He probably had been in a fight somewhere and got him broke.
Yeah.
See, because it hung right down right over his face. And all the deer that I've seen, I've never seen one yet that was in what they call the pink velvet.
Yeah.
Did you ever see one?
No.
I never did either. Now, them up there, them buck deer that we see up there last August, they had a little bit of that velvet on their horns yet, you know, and it had been tearing loose and some of it hung in strings like.
Mm-hmm.
See where they were coming off. But they tell me that when that velvet first comes out on there, it's pink.
Oh, really?
I don't see the deer. I just see where they've been.
Yeah. Well, I've seen some dandies up there. Back in 66 when I was up there, we was a standing with an old fellow in a brand new house trailer, and then I'd have to drive down to the village where my shop was. And Evelyn and I would be coming in the morning, and sometimes you go at night. You see these alfalfa lots, you know, with the second cutting in. Gee, there'd be some of them would have 15, 20 deer in them, eating, you know. And as long as you kept a going, well, they'd stand there and eat. And the minute you stopped your car, boy, they was going like that right off in the bushes.
Is that right?
Yeah. You take up in the Adirondack Mountains, you can drive along slow down through. And a lot of times you'll see the deer down in there looking out at you, you know. And as long as you keep a going, well, they'll just stand there. But you stop that car and see how quick they go.
Is that right?
Well, I'll run down and see what.
All right.
Now that's the end of that nice little session with Mr. Eastman. He's working on Cookie's pump. Cookie got his pump in, but he doesn't have any water. And he talked to him over the telephone. He found out he had a tailpipe but no jet. This is Channel 1 Right around 3:30. Channel 1 Right around 3:30 this Monday morning, 27th of November, 1970. Monday morning, the 27th of November, 1970.
You see, there is what they call a jet.
Yeah, it's a jet.
You see, your 2-inch pipe screws into that.
Yeah.
Or your 1.25 screws into that.
That's
and this goes down in that 2-inch. Well, you see, here's your letters on here.
Yeah.
Well, here's where your pressure comes down and it goes in here. See,
that's your jet right there.
Comes in through this jet here and up through this.
Yeah.
See, so that your pressure.
Yeah.
And your suction on the outside is what just draws your water up.
Yeah, and they make this hole small, so when it reduces the size, you get pressure, don't you?
Turned in there tight, but that comes down in there, so that it's smaller than this hole is here. See,
yeah,
down in there.
Yeah.
So that it has to come up.
Now, where's the tailpipe go?
Well, you don't have much of a tailpipe on here, see, because here's your foot valve and strainer down in here.
That's a part of it.
Yeah.
That goes on to it.
See, I took two of these and made one over there because this one here had a damn plastic foot valve on it there, and I never liked them.
Yeah.
See that? Hear it?
Yeah. Mr. Eastman, you've been fooling with these things a long time, haven't you?
Since 1926.
You still like a jet?
Well, I never put down as many jet pumps as I did the cylinders down in the bottom, you know. And then I got a... Now, there's what they call a thin coupling.
Oh, yeah.
You see, when you go down in, you put a regulation coupling. You see, your first pipe screws in here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you put a thin coupling on up here, and it gives you more clearance in your 2-inch pipe. See, a regular coupling fits in a 2-inch pipe pretty darn close.
Yeah.
See, there ain't too much room for water to get down through.
Yeah.
Now, for me, I would rather have an 1-inch pipe go down in there than your 1.25.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got more opening on the outside here for your pressure to go down through.
Yeah. Well.
But there's your 1.25 out there, so I got this 1.25 thin coupling.
You think we ought to just put on some 1-inch pipe?
Well, I think maybe this will go all right. But,
1.25 is a pretty good sized pipe, Missy.
Huh?
1.25 is a good sized pipe.
Yeah, well, that's what's in there.
Well, they don't give them away, do they?
No.
Gee whiz.
And I don't know if I've got guts enough to pull that darn pipe out of there.
Well, I'm your helper, you see.
Well, y'all go ahead and get it done. I want some water down there.
Well, now, what about you got to check that valve, Mr. Eastman?
But they didn't have one of them valves in there. We'll go over and see if we can get that off.
Yeah.
And see. This lid up here won't. This lid up here won't coming out a little bit to make it fit in that 2-inch pipe a little bit better.
That's right. Unless we can get that valve working, there's no use fooling with the rest of it, is there?
They didn't have a. We'll go over there and see if I can get that off, get that out of there.
All right. I didn't know you were taking any water to prime it with.
I don't think so. Well, I'm weaker than a cat, you know, since I've been sick.
Yeah.
Strong on
it.
Yeah.
I know when you pull that down the pipe out there. That, you see here, I lost so darn much weight from being sick of this thing. This morning, I don't want to do that. But Jesus, I've been flopping all around on the doggone wrist. And
mine does it all the time. I just despise it.
Well,
don't
I'll
you?
Tell you.
Every time you look, see what time it is, you can't get it?
Well, I'll tell you. Now, this was a Spydell armband, see? And when they got it, it was too big for me, so they took out two links.
Yeah. Did they give them back to you?
Mm-hmm.
And you can put them in?
If any one of them goes wrong, but that's one of them Spydell bands, you know, you're supposed to tie in any kind of a knot and anything that you want. Jesus, my wife wouldn't give $12 for that darn thing. I told her she'd ought to have her pants kicked. But Jesus, there was a fellow down going into McIntosh down here, and boy, I wanted to stop that truck and kick him goddamn good. Hair clear down on his damn shoulders here, and ribbons tied around in it, you know, and beads around his neck. If they don't make me sick. Now, we had dinner over to Jay Dillon's yesterday, and his grandson and his wife was there to dinner. And he's got that damn long hair, and you know, I couldn't speak decent to that fellow. Oh, Jesus, I just can't. I can't.
Dillon?
Huh?
Dillon?
Dillon, yeah. Young Jimmy Becker.
I didn't tell you. It does make you sick.
Let me warm the back a minute, Miss Eastman. I down in the back this morning. Do you ever get down in the back?
There's a half soup, Teddy.
Well, you know, there ain't nothing tasted good to me in 2 weeks. My wife, she gave me fits because she couldn't fix nothing that tasted good in one thing and another, and she was going to quit cooking and all this and that. And I told Jesus, it didn't make any difference. And just don't, they ain't no taste to it. Everything was just alike. The only thing that we ate that tasted a little bit different, I got a hold of some oysters. And that did taste a little bit different. But yesterday, they had some mashed potato and turkey gravy on it. And by God, now that tasted good. But you know, the dressing, there wasn't no taste of the dressing or a darn thing there yesterday.
Just the potatoes?
Just that potato and that turkey gravy was the only thing that tasted good in the whole bunch.
Well, you know, the dressing is the thing that's always had the taste to it.
I know it.
No seeds?
Yeah, there wasn't no taste to me to that at all.
No seeds?
They all laugh at me and make fun, but don't make any difference. Jeez, if I didn't have no taste, why?
You just don't.
I just ain't got it. Just been that doggone. That cold made me that sick, you know.
Uh-huh. I know. Well, you don't look sick today. You look fine.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, let's see if we can get that digger off, mister.
I just don't feel it hot.
Okay. Mm. All right.
Well, that's the end of this visit with Mr. Eastman. It's way on over there, around something or other, 450, I guess. Now, I transferred this to the cookie tape, but I'm going to leave it on this, too. This is Channel 1 Right on Mr. Eastman's tape. And the Friday, the 27th November, 1970, around 440, 450, Channel 1 Right, visited Mr. Eastman. He came up to see about Cookie's pump. What was wrong with it? It wouldn't pump water. This Friday, 27th November, 1970, 10-1 right, around 4:40 or 50.